Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy,
oh, what joy
they bring to me.
They bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good evening, everyone, and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we open your word, Father, we're asking for the presence of the Holy Spirit to be with us, to speak through us, Father, so that the words that are spoken this evening are yours and not mine. Guide us now in thy way and thy will. Carry us through this evening, Father, to where we are will be pleasing in your eyes. And we're asking all of this in that sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen. I'm going to be speaking to you tonight, actually, from 2 Timothy, 2nd chapter. But for our evening reading, it's actually titled The Raising Light. This is just our daily reading. It says, recently I stepped into the bedroom of my two sleeping boys. It was too dark to see. I flipped the closet light on. Still too dark. As I gradually opened the closet door, light increased until I could see my son's slumbering forms. A flash of spiritual insight hit me. I realized that the only thing that had changed was the amount of light. I could tell that my boys were safe because light had come. As long as I stayed within those light rays, I could see. We live in a day of perplexity, deception and confusion. Moral darkness and depravity abound. But as long as we stay within the light of God's word, we can see. As long as we have the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world, John 1:9, we will be shown the next step. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalms 119:105. There is light available to help every man out of his moral darkness. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. John 8:12. Once out of his darkness, the man must continue to walk uprightly. If he ever starts to love darkness again, condemnation will set in. And this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. John 3:19. In light of raising on our path, if not, are we walking uprightly? Have we turned toward darkness in any way? It takes only a moment to turn our face back toward the light. God has promised it. Light arises for the upright. May every one of us walk in his light today. And may the Lord add his blessing unto the reading of this his word. All right. We know that there is darkness all around us today. Everywhere we look, we see a lot of darkness. Because we know that Satan's really at work today. He's after everyone he can pull away from the light. He don't want any of us to walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're the ones he's really after, because those that are not walking with the Lord, he's already got. But for those that we work with, those that we talk to, you know, we won't much more finish talking with them until one of the first things they face is his deception, him trying to keep them from ever listening to what we say. And that's why we have to be very careful, because we know that we have those out there. They've got eyes and they don't see. They got ears. They don't hear. Because what they do hear goes one ear straight out the other. Nothing in between to stop. And they want their own thing and their own ways. And they continue walking contrary to the word of Almighty God day by day. And there's a lot of little things that we really don't pay any attention to that can cause us an awful lot of trouble and cause us from missing making heaven our home and actually a lot of it is not even named among the wrong things. But it's just small things of this world out here that will cause us to miss out, because it keeps us from getting close to the Lord Jesus Christ. All right. Getting into 2 Timothy now, chapter 2. Verse 1 says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ, the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, and peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife, and the servants of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach and patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. And may the Lord add his blessing unto the reading of this his word. And now may the Holy Spirit come forward to share with you and I the word that God would have us to receive this day. And once again, we do all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. As we back up here now, we know that Paul's writing this epistle to Timothy, the Apostle Timothy, who he claimed to be his son. Well, Timothy wasn't his flesh and blood son, but he was his spiritual son. And Timothy loved him dearly. But this first verse, he says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." But we all too often forget the power and the strength that lays within the Lord Jesus Christ, and that lays within each one of us that are a born-again child of the living God. If you are a born-again child of the living God, there is nothing that God has left away from you. Nothing. It's all been made available. What we need is to learn how to accept it. And even more than that, how to use it. And we forget the little things. A lot of little things that we just don't look at today. We take a lot of things for granted. And we really don't pay any attention about it. And one of them is guard your thoughts. We need to be guarding our thoughts. See, God knows what you think. He knows every thought. Now, we know Satan's going to bring things into your thoughts that shouldn't be there. But you don't have to let it stay. You're to deal with it, get rid of it. Don't let it stay in there and linger, because if you do, it's going to bring some more in there with itself. And then you're going to wind up worse off than you was in the beginning. And he sure will. He'll bring in 4 or 5 more. So we need to guard our very thoughts. But most of us pay very little attention to it. And what have you done today? Now, I'm on metal now. What have you actually done today? Who have you talked to today about the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you even really talked to him today? Have you talked to the Lord today? Have you sat down and been in his word today? You see, it's little things like that that will let Satan in. When we don't spend time with the Lord Jesus Christ in prayer and in the study of his word, Satan's going to be right there. He's going to meet you head on. And he's going to bring things and put thoughts in your head if you ain't very careful. That'll get you into an awful lot of trouble. But most of us, we'll be around others, and we never say anything to them about the Lord. We really don't talk to them about what I have done today. What have I really done today to further the kingdom of Almighty God? We've all talked to somebody else today. Not everybody in the sound of my voice. I'm talking to you online too. You've bound been talking to somebody today. Have you really talked to them about the Lord? Probably not. Have you talked to your family about the Lord? Probably not. No, they don't really want me talking to them. Well, you see, it don't matter whether they want it or not. It's your responsibility to talk to them about the Lord. Well, they ain't not going to listen. That's all right. But you see, their blood's not on your hands when you continue talking with them. I've got family members. They don't want me talking to them. I've got family members that don't want me around. But you know something? Every time I see them, I talk to them about the Lord. I talk to them about the church. Because I don't want their blood on my hands. So I'm gonna talk to them, and I'm going to give them God's word. Now, what they do with it then is between them and the good Lord. They'll have to answer for that. But if I don't never talk to them about it, I'm going to answer one day for it. It's all through the Bible. That's why we are called to be a child of God. is to share with others. We're all to be sent. That's why he tells us, all that believe in me, these things I do, greater than these will they do. He didn't say some of you or part of you, just certain ones. He said all. We are all to walk, to speak and talk as he did. And that means to everyone that we come in contact with. Now, here in verse 2, he says, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. You see, that wasn't my word. That was his word. He saw us right there in verse 2. We are not only to be able to teach others, but we are supposed to do it. We're not to sit back and sit on the seat of our pants and do nothing. We are to be up and about the Lord's work if we are to be a child of God. And we can't use the excuse, well, Lord, I just don't have that. I don't know how to do that, and I don't know how to do this. I just don't know. Ask him. He'll tell you. He'll guide you. He'll guide you in all the ways you need. Because he's the one that told you to do it. And he don't tell you and I to do something that we cannot do. Now, we can't do it on our own a lot of times. But that's why he gave us the Comforter. That's why we have the Holy Spirit. Because there's nothing the Holy Spirit can't do. And he'll guide you. He'll speak through you. He'll work even through your hands in order to see the things of God accomplished. You see, the Lord needs mankind because he's in heaven. He left the earth, went back to heaven. And he sent the Holy Spirit back to be with you and I so he could use us here on this earth to do the work he started. We're to finish that work for him. But we can't do it sitting on the seat of our pants, doing nothing. But that's what most church people want to do. They want to sit in the pews. Oh, I got to go to church Sunday morning, you know. I'm all ready for church Sunday morning. They go to church Sunday morning. The rest of the week, they're out doing whatever they want to do. They think no more about the church or no more about the Lord. And I'll tell you something else. They'll not make heaven their home either. We got a lot of people sitting in the pews of our churches today going to hell on their way because they will not get into the Word of God and spend time with the Lord Jesus Christ in prayer to know what to do and to be able to do it. But because they've been told, well, you come to church, so you're all right now. We took you out here, and you went and made that profession, and you asked Jesus into your life, and right then you were saved. Now you're always saved. No. Because most likely the profession wasn't even done in honesty. It wasn't done in sincerity. Because if it had been, you'd have been finding you a church to where they teach you the word and give it to you right. Instead of the way most are preaching today. I see a lot of it. I'm seeing some good preaching today, but I'm seeing a lot of it that's not, that's contrary to the word. And they've got big congregations. Anyone that can, if you can find on your television Daystar, it's a Christian channel. Daystar. Watch it someday. Put in a day of watching it. And you'll see what I'm saying. Yes, there is a few good ones on there. There's a few real good ones on there. But you got a lot of them leading thousands and thousands and thousands down their own pathway and teaching them to walk contrary to the Word of God. They'll be in churches that's so big that they have a choir that's bigger than most churches. They'll have a choir of 150 or 200 people, just their choir. The main floor is full. They have the balcony, it's full. They have the second balcony over that, and it's full. 3,000 and 4,000 members and being taught you can't live without sin in your life. They teach nothing about the Holy Spirit. They teach nothing about the power of Almighty God. They don't teach you how to walk in it. They don't teach you to walk in the Spirit. And we're told as a born-again child of God to walk in the Spirit. How are you going to walk in it if you don't know how? And how are you going to find out how to walk in it if you ain't got a preacher telling you how, leading you? You see, he don't tell you all of it, even as good as he can be. But he guides you into the Word. And then when you get into the Word, you can find it. If you got questions, then you can always go to him with your questions. That's what he's for. That's why we're supposed to be able to teach others. You see? And he's warning Timothy here, Paul is, about that. He says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We know the stronger we walk with God, the closer and the more I walk in the Spirit, the more I'm going to have to fight with Satan. Because I'm one he don't like. He don't like me at all. And he'll do anything he can to tear me down. and to lead me astray. But you know, you see, you're picking on the wrong one here. Because I know how to get rid of him. I can't keep him from coming against me, but I can sure see that he don't stay. And so can you. If you are a child of God, you don't have to let him stay. And the stronger you grow, the more he's going to come at you. Look at the hardship that Paul went through. And that's what he was telling some about some of the things that he was talking to Timothy here about. He says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. We are supposed to belong to an army. So don't kid yourself. We are at war. Oh, no. Oh, yes. We are at war. We are at a spiritual warfare. And we will fight Satan and his demons as long as we stay here on this earth. But you know, you can walk strong enough in and with the Lord Jesus Christ and with the Holy Spirit that when your eyes open up in the morning and your feet hit the floor, Satan starts shaking because he knows he's in for a bad day. Think about it. You see, he knows you. He knows you. He knows what your weak spots are. You know? That's why we have to grow strong enough that we really don't have any weak spots that he can just walk through. And you don't have to have them. All right. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully? Yes, we have to strive lawfully. We've got to walk in the word of Almighty God. And we've got to walk in the truth of it. And we've got to walk in the truth of it filled with the Holy Spirit. Because he will continue taking us deeper and deeper and deeper into God's word. Without him, we wouldn't get that deep. Without him, we wouldn't even have the desire to even think about going that deep. That's why most are not getting involved. Very few people today actually get involved in church. They'll go, they sit there, spend their time there. Some of them listen, some of them sleep. Service is over, they're up and gone. An hour later, they couldn't even tell you what the preacher said. Doubt if they could even tell you what the main subject was. And they'll think very little about it until next time for them to be at church, which today, for most churches, sadly to say, is on Sunday morning. Most of our churches today are holding services Sunday morning, and that's all. And that's a shame. All right, now, says the husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Well, yes, You know, we are to be responsible for our home. What goes on in my home is my responsibility. What is taught in my home is my responsibility. But so many of us don't do it. Well, it causes controversy. So what? But God says it's your responsibility, husband. What's being taught? And what goes on? My oldest son, it took off when he was 16 years old. He ran away from home, went to my brother's house in Seattle, Washington. We was living at the time in Florida. He hitchhiked from Florida to Seattle, Washington, all the way across this country, 16 years old. Stayed up there with my brother for about a year. Took a notion, well, you know, I'd be better off to go home. So he called, told me he's coming home. I told him, come on. He got to the house, got to my front door, had a suitcase in one hand, a case of beer in the other. I told him, I said, you know better than that. That beer don't come in this house. Well, I'll just go to Fort Hood, Texas. I said, you know where the real guns, don't you? That's what he done. He went to Fort Hood, Texas. Got down there, couldn't find no work. So he joined the Army. Best thing that ever happened to him. He pulled his time in the Army and got out. He's living now in Florida. Got a family. Got kids and grandkids. I've even got a great-grandkid from him. He calls every now and then to talk to me. And he'll tell you, you know, Dad means what he says. And you ain't going to get around it. It was about, I guess pretty close 5 years before I ever seen him again. He called and told me he joined the Army. I told him good. Wished him well. Kept him in my prayers. And he let me know when he got out. Let me know he was going to Florida. He let me know he met a woman down there. Decided he's going to get married. Want to know if I'd come down and marry him. And I did. But I'm responsible for what I allow to go on in my home. And I'm not going to let the wrong things go on. No. And my kids will tell you that. And there's two or three of them don't want me around. But Daddy don't approve of my drinking. Dad don't approve of my doing this and that. They're right. And Dad will tell me. Yep. Now they want to hear it. But if Dad gets around, they're going to hear it and they know it. I got one daughter told me one day, she said, you know, Dad, I don't go to church. Well, I had been talking to her about going to church. She had some adopted kids. I told her they need to be in church. She said, well, I don't go to church. And she said, you know why I don't? I said, no, I don't know why you don't go. She said, well, I don't go because of you. Because all the time I was home, you made me go to church. I said, you're right. That's what I was supposed to do, make you go to church. I'm to bring you up in the church. I'm to bring you up in God's word. Now, when you get grown, you're on your own. And you ain't doing these kids any good by keeping them out of church. But she never calls to check on me to see if I'm still living or I'm not. Does it hurt? Yeah. Because I love them all. They're mine and I love them. And the thing of it is, I know they know better. Because they was raised in the church. And they was raised in a good church. I got a son that's been here. I don't know whether you all was here or not. Was you here when he was here? Him and his woman. And see, he ain't living right either. And he knows it. In fact, they both know because I've told both of them. They've been together now 20-some years. Still not married. Like I said, he knows better because he was raised in church also. These are things that most of your churches today are accepting as being all right. Most all of your denominational churches today are taking these couples in that are not married and going right along with it just as if they were a married couple, knowing that they're living in a life of fornication that's against the Word of God. No. And that'd be another thing that will cause this to be a hard church to build. Because as long as I stand on the Word of God, it ain't going to build easy. Now, if I get up here and just tell tales, and I don't stand on the Word of God, and I accept homosexuality in here as an alternate lifestyle, I accept adultery in here, oh, that's all right. It don't matter if you can have 5 or 6 living wives, you know. No. I was like most all of the denominational churches are. They've all accepted these. And your big churches is full of it. These big mega churches we got is full of that. And right now, one of the busiest preachers on television, on 4 to 5 times a day, every day, is a woman. Joyce Myers.
Evil woman.
Huh?
She's an evil woman.
But she is the busiest preacher on TV. And I mean packed. Her church is packed. It's a big church. I'd say there's got to be at least 3,000 in that church. And she travels, holds conventions in these big places, and they're packed. But she'll be on Daystar 4 or 5 times a day. This is what we're facing today. And I'll tell you what, you won't never hear her preaching from 1 John. You're not going to hear her preach from 2 chapter, 1 Timothy. You're not going to hear her preach from the last few verses of the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians either, where the word tells her she ain't supposed to be there. And you know, you say, well, you're too picky. No, I'm not. I know what the word says. And she's standing there all dressed up, got all of her jewelry on, all of her makeup, eyes and everything all made up, got her hair cut almost short as a man's. She was told not to cut her hair. She didn't pay no attention to that either. But this is what we're facing today. Is this church going to be easy to build? No. I know it. I know that for a fact. And it's going to take all of us to do it. We're all really going to have to work to get the church built. All right. Now, I'll probably get these next two verses when we close, because I ain't going to make it all the way through. Verse 7, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Who's going to give you understanding in all things? The Lord. We should never really make an important decision without first going to the Lord and asking him for his advice. Lord, what is the right thing for me to do with this? Whatever it happens to be. And if you do that, he'll give you the answer. A lot of people say, well, you know, I pray and God just don't talk to me. Why? Because you're not spending no time with him. Only when you get desperate for something. He wants you talking to him all the time. He tells you to pray without ceasing. Thank him all through the day. We all do things all day long that we could thank him for. Then as you work, but you're on the job. How many times a day can you thank him right there on that job?
Many, many times.
That's right. Many, many, many things that you'll do. James, you sat there at home quite a bit, but you're getting around the house and you're doing this and you're doing that. How many times a day can you thank him? Yeah, quite a bit. If you can't think of nothing else, just thank him for being him. I tell him I love him. I don't know how many times a day. Because I do. I love the Father. I love the Son. I love the Holy Spirit. I love His Word. And I love teaching it. And I'll tell Him several times a day. It's the first thing I tell Him in the morning when my eyes open. But I love Him. The last thing I tell Him before I close midnight. Father, I love You. I love the Lord. I love the Holy Spirit. I love Your Word. I love teaching Your Word. And just be sitting around the house. And I may be watching one of the preachers preaching. It'll just come out. Father, I love You. Because I really do. With this one, we'll close. Remember that Jesus Christ, of the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel. And you know, when you came in, James, I was playing some songs. Well, just before you got here, I had one playing that had me sitting there crying. Because it's another one so true. Y'all know my favorite song, because I've sung it for you. He touched me. But this one, this morning, as I was sitting there listening to it, and it's so true. And the title of it is, He Did It All For Me. You know that song? You know it? Then you know why. He did it all for me. He went to the cross for me. He took all of my sins. He took all of my sicknesses and my diseases. He shed His blood so I wouldn't have to shed mine. And He done it all for me and for you. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close Your Word, Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You for the Holy Spirit. And Father, we thank You for a place and a time we can come together to share and to be and have fellowship one with the other, to be here for each other as needed. And Father, Your saints, wherever they are in the world, we ask the Holy Spirit to keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. And Father, for Jerusalem and Israel, we pray for peace for them. But even more than that, Father, we pray for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, as their King of Kings and Lord of Lords, so that one day Israel will be known as a land for Jesus. And Father, this land of ours, a land that had turned its back, walked away from the Lord Jesus Christ, walked away from Your Word, wants our government, wants nothing to do, Father, with any of it, are with Your people. Help us, Father, to remove from our government those that are against You and Yours. And help us to replace them with ones, Father, that will work to put Jesus back into the places He's been taken out of. We'll work with Your churches. Work with us, Father, to put our government back upon the foundation in which it was founded, and that being Your Word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, for our prayer list, as each name is mentioned, we ask the Holy Spirit to work with them, to fulfill whatever need they have, whether that need be spiritual, physical, or financial. Kenny Powers, Mark Pavlik, Amy's husband, Tom, Amy and Tom's young son, Jacob, Terry Coates, Dennis Breeden, his wife, Tina, brothers in Christ here in Brandenburg, Pastor Smalls of the Glory Bound Church, Pastor Randy Johnson, Church of God of Brandenburg, for the Meade County General Baptist Church and the pastors there, Pastor Don Hilton, Pastor Alan Thomas, Pastor Tony Galladay, Pastor Eric and his wife Jackie, that little Full Gospel Church of God there at Akron. Father, these churches make them lighthouses to the community in which they stand. This church here, Father, it's yours, not mine. You've put me here as an overseer. Now, Father, make of it what you want it to be. And, Father, all these churches and this one, make it a place of refuge, Father, to where the lost, walking in darkness, can go and find light, and that light being the Lord Jesus Christ. From my three friends in Pakistan, Pastor Haroon Islam, Pastor Barak Mishai, Pastor Zephyrin Iron, Father, keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs, because we know, Father, they walk in dangerous territory. Now, Father, Jimmy Embry, Sharon Mom Billow, their mother, for Sue and David, for James, for Dennis, for myself, for Painless Goodman, Kelly Smith and his wife, for Karen, Father, we all need a touch, a healing touch from the hand of Jesus. Now, Father, be with us all. Keep us on the pathway of righteousness, filled with the Holy Spirit. Use us in mighty and great ways, Father, and help us to build this church. Make it what you want it made. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Remember, as of Sunday, this coming Sunday evening, we're going back to 6 o'clock instead of 5. So don't forget that now. And God willing, Sunday morning, we can all be together again at 11 a.m. So until then, walk with God, He'll walk with you. Have a good evening.